Listen to every episode of Stokely and Zach on demand at 1043thefan.com. Brought to you by First Bank. You work hard for your business. So should your bank. Talk to a First Bank business specialist today. First Bank. Business banking for good. Member FDIC.
Talk about, you know, win now. Talk about win now. You better win right now. Like right now in 48 hours. Nearly 48 hours from right now, you need to beat the Chicago Bears. Because if this football team starts 0-2, Brandon Stokely, and you want to be a winner, the Broncos will need to win 9 of their next 14 football games to do that. To be a winner, to win more games than you lose, you need to win 9 of your next 14 football games if they lose on Sunday, and I cannot see that happening. You need to win your home games. I know how scary the Chicago Bears can be, but I'll tell you what. I have as much sense of urgency surrounding this football game in 48 hours than I did leading up to the Monday night game against the Raiders because of the possibility at staring 0-2 in the face.
Yeah, the Bears are a good football team. They were, a Super Bowl pick by a lot of people this year, and they were a really good football team last year. But they got beat at home first game of the season, so they are beatable. Broncos are playing at home, and they need to come out and play better. I think it's going to be a close game. I can't wait to watch it. Should be a good game.
Should be a great game. And if you're Nick Ferguson and you still believe that they're 12-4, they got to go 12-2 down the stretch to match that. And Nick doesn't believe that.
Shame.
Then we got problems. All right, it's time for our NFL picks.
Okay,
let's get it. You beat me last week.
I did.
I'll give it to you. And the two that we disagreed on, it was the Chargers beating the Indianapolis Colts.
Yep.
And you picked
the Bills
to go into New York, into MetLife.
Yep. And I had more confidence in the Bills than you did.
Yes, you did. Let's go head-to-head here.
Didn't look good early when they were down 16-0.
It did not. Chargers are playing at the Detroit Lions. Who you got?
I'm not putting any faith or confidence in the Detroit Lions and Matt Stafford and Matt Patricia. The two Matts.
That's right.
I got more confidence in Philip Rivers. I'm taking the Chargers.
Both of these teams were in overtime last week. How about this? The Chargers were up 15 midway through the third. They went to overtime. And Detroit was up 18 points in the fourth and they ended up with a tie. You kidding me? But here's what I'll say. The Chargers have won their last 6 road games. Do you realize that?
No, I didn't realize
six
that.
6 consecutive road games. And then if you even go back to 2017, they've won 8 of their last 9 on the road. That is hard to believe. I got the Chargers going to Detroit and winning. Vikings at Green Bay.
Oh, that should be a good one. Is Green Bay as good as they looked week one? Is their defense, as good as they looked week one? We will find out. I mean, that's going to be a good test. I'm going to go with the home team here. I'm going to go with Aaron Rodgers. I'm going to go with the Green Bay Packers in Lambeau to win this one in a close one.
I have a wild stat for you, Stoke. Aaron Rodgers has 7 games against the Vikings with a passer rating of 130 or more. The most by any quarterback against any one team in the history of the National Football League. Can you believe that?
Who are you, the Swami?
7 different games with a passer rating of 130. Hey, Zach's a grinder. He's on every day. During those 7 games, 24 interceptions or 24 touchdowns, 0 picks.
Wow.
Can you believe that? And now I can't believe I'm about to pick the Vikings to beat them.
I knew you were picking the Vikings.
That's right.
That's your sweetheart this year.
That is my sweetheart. I got a healthy, spry Dalvin Cook and a revived Kirk Cousins going there and getting a win. And
I hope you're right.
So do I. I know you do, partner. I know. You got the Seahawks at the Pittsburgh Steelers this week.
Seahawks didn't look good at home week one against Cincy. They're fortunate to get that win. And obviously Pittsburgh looked awful. Pittsburgh's playing back at home. I'm going to give the edge to the home team, I guess. We'll see what Pittsburgh looks like post Antonio Brown and Le'Veon Bell at home. But I'm going to give a slight edge to Pittsburgh.
I got another stat here that's going to pop your top.
Here comes the Swami.
The Pittsburgh Steelers are 8-1 during Ben Roethlisberger's career after losses by 20 or more.
Okay.
8-1.
All right. Well, then we're...
And I know no more Antonio, no more Le'Veon Bell, but how about they got James Washington. They got James Conner.
Yeah, they played great last week.
They got Juju.
They're at home.
I got Pittsburgh. And by the way, Seattle won that game against Cincinnati last week. Did you realize Cincinnati had nearly twice the yards, total yards, as Seattle? Really incredible. Okay.
I love the numbers that you got, man. You have got the numbers. This is awesome. I didn't realize that.
You know, my son waking up at 5 a.m., yeah. I find things to do with my time. How about Dallas at Washington?
I'm going to the Cowboys. They looked really good week one. Giants defense stinks. But Dallas, I think, is a complete football team. I'm not going to go with Case Keenum and the Washington Redskins. I don't have any confidence in that football team. Although they shocked me early on. They gave up, I think, a 17-point lead to Philly in Philly.
They did.
But they were able to move the ball. But I'm going with the Cowboys.
How about Vernon Davis, the way he looked last week? It was like, who is this guy?
He hurdled a guy. What is going on?
He's huffing that deer antler spray. I mean, he looked young again.
Goodness gracious.
I got Dallas. They're too talented. I mean, side by side, probably 10 of the best 12 football players in that game play for the Dallas Cowboys. And how about Colorado State's Michael Gallup last week? Did you see what he did? Career
played
high,
nice.
7 catches for .158 last week. But here's the stat that'll get you. Michael Gallup had 7 catches for 158 yards. 4 different receivers caught touchdowns from Dak. I mean, they were spreading it out like
Giants
a buffet
defense
dinner.
Stinks. They stink.
I got you. You know who one of those guys was? It was Jason Witten. Caught a touchdown pass last week.
I was there. I went to the game.
You were there.
I went to the game. Yes. I was there.
Okay.
First time there. First time at that stadium. It was fun. I had a good time.
All right. How about Kansas City at Oakland?
Kansas City. Not Kansas City.
Kansas City. Moving on. New Orleans at the Rams.
This is a good one. Wow, that's a good one. I'm going Saints. Even though it's on the road, my mind is telling me to pick the home team in this one, but my heart is in the Bayou, and they get revenge. That voodoo curse will be on the Rams, and them Cajuns will come out of the swamp, and they will get revenge. On the NFL world, they will get revenge, and they will win that football game. Saints on the road.
Man, I was hoping that you'd pick the home team, the Rams, the same team that won last year in that controversial moment. But I'm going with the revenge tour, too.
Oh, you are?
Did you see how Alvin Kamara looked last week? That dude has just another gear. He's so dynamic. If Christian McCaffrey's not the best offensive weapon in all of football, I think it's Alvin Kamara. And I trust them. I trust them on the road. Typically, I don't. This week, I do. I'm taking the Saints, too. What about Philly at Atlanta? This is on Sunday Night Football.
I can't trust the Atlanta Falcons at all. Dan Quinn, if he doesn't get it fixed out, it fixed quickly, he's going to be fired soon. I don't know if he signed an extension this offseason or not, but, man, they have so many offensive weapons, and they can't figure it out over there offensively. I don't know what's going on over there. I'm just going with Philly because I have no confidence in the Falcons, even at home.
I was hoping you would overreact to week one the way that you just did. I got the Falcons at home.
Okay.
Oh, by the end, that thing hit double zeros. I'm going to be doing the dirty bird like Jamal Anderson.
Oh, my goodness. Please don't do the dirty bird.
How about Monday Night Football? Cleveland against the New York Simians.
Oh, Trevor Siemian is back.
Okay, Trey.
In the spotlight. In the spotlight. Wow. I see this thing happening. I could see Trevor all of a sudden coming out of the darkness and finding a way to get the Jets a win. Him and Adam Gase just figuring it out. Sam Darnold's got mononucleosis. He's going to be out a while.
He's hanging out with Brady.
Oh, him and Tom. Oh, wow. I'm not touching that one. I'm going with Cleveland. I just think Cleveland figures it out, even though I think it's on the road. It's in New York.
It is.
I'll go Cleveland. I guess I'll buy a little bit of the hype here and go with the Brownies.
You know what? I'm going with Trevor Siemian
in
a big spot to play well. And I trust him as a backup, and I think the world is sleeping on Trevor and the Jets. I think they rally around Trevor the same way that The Raiders rallied around the fact that Antonio Brown was no longer there. Gimme gangrene to upset the quote-unquote hype machine. The hype is real.
I like it.
It's a Bud Light Football Friday live from Blake Street Tavern, Bud Light official beer sponsor of the Broncos. Come enjoy all the NFL and college action this season at the Big House on Blake. This place is huge. 18,000 square feet, 3 different bars, 60 high-def televisions, and Bud Light promotions throughout the year. College alumni groups, including Michigan State, Notre Dame, Texas Tech, Arizona State. D-Max should be here with his flip-flops. And the CU Buffs.
And his 4X Sharks.
Fargo
Sharks.
You can come down here. The pro teams, they got watch groups for, of course, the Broncos, the Seahawks, the Patriots.
Sharks aren't supposed to go down to your calves, are they?
The calves? The jorts. Yeah. He's rocking them jorts. The Redskins and the Saints all have watch groups here at Blake Street Tavern. All right. It's time for our Broncos pick. Is Stoke going to bet against the orange and blue for a second straight week? You'll find out next.
You work hard for your business. So should we. That's why First Bank offers commercial real estate loans, business lines of credit, and online cash management solutions. With tools and services designed to make your business run easier, your day could have less this and more this. Visit eFirstBank.com/business to learn more. First Bank, business banking for good. Member FDIC.
First Bank, banking for good.
All right, Stoke, it's high time for our Broncos pick. All right. A week ago, you pulled a fast one on me right at the buzzer. You almost misled me. It was almost deceitful.
Yeah.
You said I got it 16-13. And I was like, all right, because the way you were talking, you led me to believe you were about to pick the Broncos, and then you said Raiders. About 3.5 seconds later, you let the suspense really seep in and then stab me right in the back.
Nothing wrong with a good tease.
That's right.
Nothing wrong with a good tease.
One of my favorite drops. All right, what do you got? What do you got for me here?
I think this is going to be a hard-fought football game, a close football game, a defensive football game, where the team that doesn't turn the football over, the team that does the little things, the teams that when the play is there, they take advantage of it and they make the play. They don't drop a touchdown. They don't slip. They take advantage of it. Which defense is going to step up and make the plays? Broncos defense needs a bounce back game. They weren't awful, but they weren't good enough. And in this football game, if the Broncos want to win, this is on the defense. The defense has got to go out there and deliver. I just don't think they deliver enough.
Oh, no.
I just don't think they deliver enough, Zach. I don't have confidence in this football team right now. Week 2. Even though it is at home, I have more confidence in continuity and consistency. That is the Chicago Bears and their defense over the Denver Broncos, unfortunately. And that's just where I'm sitting at today. I don't have confidence in this football team. I just don't. So I got the score 20-13 Chicago Bears in a close one that the Bears find a way to win and the Broncos kind of find a way to not do enough. To get a win, and kind of the same kind of theme that we saw last week from the Broncos. I just think the Bears are too good of a football team, even though they are playing at Mile High. 2013 Chicago Bears.
Hit us up on the RamosLaw.com text line 303-713-1043.
You did the same thing to me last week.
I know.
And if people hit me up, they calling me cuss words, and they dropping this, dropping that. I don't hear from these people on Tuesday.
Oh,
the day after the game.
Ooh.
Quiet.
Ooh.
Nothing from all these people when I do pick the right prediction. So we'll see. And I'm not going to even say, I'm not going to give the Zach by a caveat here and say I hope I'm wrong, this and that. Nope. This is my story, and this is my prediction, and that's it.
You have to just roll me on.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Exactly, because you want to throw it out there. Hit us up on the RamosLaw.com text line 303-713-1043. Tell Stokely how you feel about it.
No, just resetting the number. I didn't encourage anyone to do anything.
Okay,
just resetting the number for new listeners.
I don't think you had to even reset it for them. I bet it's blowing up. Good thing that we just got our
our text line like rebooted or something. So I don't know what's going on with it. So I'm having trouble.
Good.
I'm having trouble following it. So there you go. It stinks. We need to get it figured out.
Well, I'll say this. What you're saying makes sense. Okay. What you outlined, why you were picking the Bears to win, makes sense. And let's just take a look at just the bare facts. No pun. This is a football team that won twice as many games as the Broncos last year. Literally twice. One team was 6-10. The other team was 12-4. One team is being picked to potentially make a deep run, potentially a Super Bowl run. The other is being called 2-14 by people at the NFL Network. But let me say this. Don't forget to acknowledge what you saw a week ago offensively from these Bears.
You're right.
They were not a good football team. They were at home with a raucous crowd who believes in the Bears more than you do at Soldier Field, and they got beat, and they only mustered 3 points. They're entering altitude in one of the most raucous environments that the National Football League or all of American sports have to offer. Mile High is going to be going nuts. There's going to be they're orange everywhere. You're going to hear the echoes of incomplete down at the tech center.
Okay? What does it sound like?
Incomplete.
Look, I hope it sounds a little bit better than that. Holy
cow. I was doing like the faint off. If the wind's blowing south, I'll be able to hear it.
Oh, okay.
So
now it makes sense.
So I don't want to dismiss what I watched. We all watched it. It was the very first game of the year. If this game was being played at Soldier Field, I'd be singing a different tune. And I'm not picking the Broncos here. I'm not picking the Broncos for the sake of picking the Broncos. I don't give a damn. I picked against them plenty of the last couple years. But I think they find a way to beat the Bears on Sunday. I think it's a bit of a grudge match with Fangio. I think he's got a lot to prove. I think he's trying to win his first football game. And this is a motivated group defensively who got embarrassed a week ago by the Raiders.
Yep.
But I don't believe that's the true blue version of who they actually are. I think they take a huge step forward. I think they confuse Mitch Trubisky. And, by the way, I don't think Emmanuel Sanders comes off his feet this week. Twice, three times. I don't think you'll have a player drop a touchdown pass wide open in the end zone, have it bounce off his chest this week. There was a lot of context to last week's loss against the Raiders. I think the Broncos find a way to get to 1-1 and beat the Chicago Bears, and the fans in Chicago are going to be pulling their hair out looking at an 0-2 team that was one of the Super Bowl favorites.
Ooh. Do you have a score or
sure?
Just
sure. I said 19 is what it would take, right?
You said
last 2 days.
Yeah, you did. You said 19. What it take? You got the Broncos as the winner. And what's the score here?
I got 19-13.
Okay,
Denver Broncos. 19-13. I think they go to 1-1 and quell. A lot of our hysteria.
Quell
and overreaction. Quell. That's right.
You should shoot quail. only quail I know.
That's quail.
Quail.
We're going to silence this thing.
A little bit different. How do you spell the two?
I think
Q-U-A-L is only one I. I think
quail is Q-U-A-L,
right?
No? A-I-L,
sure,
maybe?
Sure, close enough.
And
close
then
enough.
Quell, I think, is Q-U-E-L-L,
I want to say. Okay.
Look,
for me, they got to prove it. You know, I got to see it. I'm not just going to go off of hope and faith and, you know, I'm just not going to do it. Even though Chicago was awful, probably worse than the Broncos were week one and with higher expectations. So we'll see. I got the Bears winning 2013. You got the Broncos winning 19-13. But I think both of us have it being a close game.
Yeah,
who can make the plays in the fourth quarter? Ultimately, that's what it's going to come down to in the last 6, 8, 10 minutes of the game. Who's going to make the plays and who's not going to make the plays? So, you know, that's, like Troy Aikman said last night when we were watching the game, talking about how great Carolina's defense is, and then all of a sudden they're just getting obliterated there at the end of the game. And Troy's like, that's when great defenses step up at the end of football games. I don't care what you do for three quarters. Who's going to be able to finish the game off? I don't care if they're on the field the whole time. And that's what this game is going to come down to. Who can step up in the fourth quarter and deliver?
How will Rich Scangarello's offense look in Act 2? What will the Broncos' rushing attack look like? We'll play Game Day Fill in the Blank next. All right, we're going to do a little fill in the blank. Really quick before we tackle this, on the RamosLaw.com text line, someone says, Zach, you need to justify the 13 points allowed prediction. What has proven to you that our defense is good? I just want to address that. Like, I don't want to put a magnifying glass over one 60-minute performance that happened to be the first time since that particular group was on the football field together for the previous 3 weeks. So I get what you're saying, but if you believe that the Broncos defense is as bad or will be as bad for the next 15 weeks as they showed this past week, I just think that is overemphasizing one game. And look, you could say the same thing about the Bears offense. That, like, hey, in part of your explanation, you're saying because the Bears offense scored, you know, 3 points, maybe I'm overemphasizing that. And maybe I am. The truth is probably somewhere in the middle, okay? I just like a close game, and I like the home team winning. That's all. All right.
I like it.
Let's fill in the blank here. Rich Scangarello and the Broncos offense blank find their rhythm early.
This is not the game to find your rhythm. Uh-oh. I don't think they find it. Will not find their rhythm early. Look, it's going to be a slugfest. There's going to be moments in this game where maybe quarters, maybe multiple quarters where you're just not doing anything. Just don't screw it up. Just don't punt sometimes in this type of game is not a bad thing. Take care of the football and throw the football away. Don't take sacks. Don't make bad plays worse. I don't think they find the rhythm, though, especially early in this football game, no.
Rich Scangarello's play calling will look blank in week two.
The same. Look, he told us during the week that he's going to stay aggressive. He's an aggressive play caller. So I think it's the same. And look, there was plays to be made there. Guys didn't make plays. He'll make some adjustments there also. I guarantee we won't see the jet sweep to Noah Fant first play. I didn't mind it. I didn't mind it at all. It just didn't work. But I think his play calling will be similar to what we saw last week.
I still can't believe that play didn't bother you as much. Like
everybody hated it because, you know, I think everybody hated it because it didn't work.
Ultimately, yes.
But why couldn't it go for, you know, a nice 3 or 4 yards on first down? And you give your rookie a play and he gets hit in the first play of the game. You know, now his nerves are gone a little bit. I don't want to second guess a play like that after the fact because it didn't work. And that's what I feel like I would be doing. I don't have any problem with it. I don't think it's an outrageous first play of the season play call. You're talking about Noah Fant, 6'5", you know, right around 250, a 4'5 guy. That's tough to bring down. That's a very athletic guy. Get him out in space and try to, make a play. At some point, you got to say, okay, whoever tackled him, nice job by the Raiders. They stayed home. They did a good job. And you kind of take your hat off to them sometimes and say, okay, but I'm not going to get down on Rich Scangarello just because the play didn't work.
No, you're not. Even with Rich saying he'd like to have it back, you're like, no, Rich, you go ahead. Rookie play caller, rookie tight end, first play of the season, let's run it back.
Let's do it. Let's do it again. Part 2.0.
Okay. Blank will be the Broncos' third wide receiver Sunday.
I probably wouldn't do it this way, but I think they stick with Deshaun Hamilton.
I think they give
him another opportunity. But, you know, it wouldn't surprise, I don't think, anybody if they didn't. But I do. I think he gets another shot at it. So I think it's going to be Deshaun Hamilton.
Well, unfortunately, it's not going to be Tim Patrick from Mike Kliss earlier today. Tim Patrick said surgery yesterday to repair his broken bone leading to his left ring finger, quote, went well. It happened on special teams on Monday night. He once went through compound leg fracture surgery, so he's not sweating the hand surgery. Tim Patrick said, quote, I'll be back sooner than later. We all hope so. We root like crazy for Tim Patrick around here. All right, the Broncos will rush for blank yards.
This is not a get-right game for the running game either. I mean, they got some dudes. You know, you can come off the edge. You got big Hicks in the middle and you got Roquan and Danny Trevathan. This is not a get-right running game. Like, let's get this running game on track week. No, this isn't it. I'll give him 83 yards.
83 total as a team?
As a team.
83 yards. That is not what we're looking for. No,
you would like to have more. I mean, look at the Panthers last night. They had like 83. They had 39. They had 39 rushing yards
they did
as a team. So We'll see.
And they were at home also. And Tampa's front, they got a good front. But the Bears' front's really good.
I heard Mark this morning saying that, well, what Mark said he put on the tape and it literally gave him diarrhea.
Oh.
He says an offensive lineman, he said this is one of the best fronts that he's ever seen in watching football all these years. He was quoting
Talking about the Bears front. Yeah.
He was saying, I'm getting me flashbacks to the early 90s Philadelphia Eagles.
With Reggie White, Jerome Brown.
Exactly. Yep.
Who else? Yeah, they got some dudes.
And then he said, it reminds me of the 2000 Baltimore Ravens front, too. He said, these guys are that good. That he had to get up and go had the runs. Might be all that West Rock coffee pouring through him. I'm not sure.
But enough, buddy.
Enough. Thank you, Juice. Thank you, Steven,
another
for that. Let's go to the next one.
All right.
Enough, buddy.
Joe Flacco will be sacked blank times.
Four times he goes down. Like Mark said, I mean, this front's really good. So it's going to be a tough task for this Denver Broncos offense. The thing that they have to do, if they don't want it to be four-plus times, they have to, like the Raiders did last week, the Broncos offense has to keep it third and short, third and manageable, where you're not in passing situations. Because if you're in passing situations, Zach, we saw it on film, they'll put Mac and Leonard Floyd. I'm getting them so confused right now. Even when I say it right, I think I'm saying it wrong. They'll put them on the same side. They'll put Mac over a guard, and we don't want to see that. So don't have an obvious third down passing situation. Keep it manageable where run is still a viable option. And if you do that, it could be under four times. But if you don't, it could be over four.
The Broncos offensive tackles will perform blank against the Bears pass rush. This is Garrett Bowles and Elijah Wilkinson, who will be filling in for Juwan James.
Not good.
Uh-oh.
Not good. I mean, what would you want me to say? Look who they're going up against also.
Maybe Bowles been just playing possum and just waiting for Mac. You know, just like
maybe this is his breakout game. Maybe this is it. You know, maybe we'll come in on Monday and Slareth will change his tune about Bowles. Maybe this is a statement Garrett Bowles game.
You know,
I'm not holding my breath.
Are you holding yours? I am not.
Okay.
No. I'll say this. Juwan James has already gone down. Okay, he's got a sprained knee. I'm not expecting to see Juwan James for the next month, maybe even 6 weeks. But what would happen if the Broncos accrued one more injury on the offensive line? I mean, just one more. We already did not have a legit depth there beyond Elijah Wilkinson. This group is one injury away.
Great point.
From Slotsky out there with the original trying to block some of these guys. Austin Slotman.
Slotman, yes. We don't want to see that.
No.
We don't want to see that. But you're right. You're one injury away from just complete disaster.
Whew. All right.
You felt good about Elijah Wilkinson as your key backup swing guy. You know, Vic Fangio said before the first game, yeah, I mean, look, you know, Nicky asked him a question. He's like, well, he's the backup for all four spots.
Right.
Left tackle, left guard, right tackle. So now you don't have that luxury of one of the best backups in the game. Your depth is taking a hit early, and you can't afford another injury.
No doubt about it. All right. Blank needs to have a big game offensively for Denver to get a win.
It came down to two players.
Can I guess them?
Yeah.
Joe Flacco or Philip Lindsay?
Well, I'm going to leave the quarterback out of it.
Okay. Then Lindsay or Sanders?
Yeah. Yep. Lindsay or Sanders. I went with Philip Lindsay. I just think you got to run the football. You got to get some explosive plays on the ground. You got to try to wear these guys out. You know, almost a similar approach that most teams will take with the Broncos, but this defense is better than the Denver Broncos. Their front seven is better than the Denver Broncos' front seven. And that's just a fact. Their inside linebackers are some dudes. Their defensive tackle right in the middle, Hicks, is that dude. And they got two guys just as good as Chubb and Von Miller coming off the edge. So you've got to run the ball, establish the run. You can't let them pin their ears back and get going. And Philip Lindsay obviously is a big part of that.
Courtland Sutton blank have another big game?
Will not. I don't see a big game coming for Courtland this week. I think it's more if one of the receivers is going to have a big game, I think it's Emmanuel Sanders.
Okay.
I think he's going to come in just like a little bit pissed. You know, slipped on the play, should have had a touchdown. And
what's your reasoning why Courtland won't have a big game?
I think it's more of an Emmanuel Sanders game.
Okay.
I think it's more he'll be targeted more by Flacco, and this will be more of his game. Where last game was more of Courtland's game, I think this game is more Emmanuel's game.
You know, I want to see the game, and I don't know if we're going to see it this Sunday. I don't know if we're going to see it against the Packers, but we're going to see it at some point this year where Flacco finds synergy with both guys in the same game, and those guys are just wreaking havoc in the secondary because they're both just such good players. And maybe it is this Sunday. Maybe the Broncos need something like that to overcome a team like the Bears. Just Sutton having a day like he had on Monday night. Emmanuel having himself a classic Emmanuel day. Maybe we will see it on Monday night. All right. Blank's pass rush will perform the best on Sunday.
Chicago. I think when you look at their team, they have the best, the better pass rushers. And that's the whole group.
The whole group. You're not isolating the edge guys.
Yep. I'm not saying, you know, Vaughn and Chubb against Leonard and Mack. Not saying that. I'm saying the whole group. I give the edge to the Chicago Bears a better pass rushing group.
Let's talk about our guys. Vaughn and Chubb will get to Trubisky blank times.
Two times.
Okay. Two sacks?
Yeah.
Okay.
Two sacks.
Between the two of them.
Yep, between the two of them. Hopefully it's more. You can get after Mitch. He will take some sacks and he will throw the ball, you know, into coverage and make mistakes if you can get pressure on him. So it's up to Vic Fangio and this defensive staff to be creative, to find ways to get some pressure, not just with your three or four rushers. Do some different things. Because if you just try to line up there with Vaughn and Chubb, I mean, they can do things to take those guys out of the game if they're just on the outside, rushing the whole time and you're not bringing any extra pressure. So you got to be creative, and I think they will be. I think Vic will do a good job of dialing things up. He knows the strengths and weaknesses of Matt Nagy and that offense.
Sure.
He doesn't know what they're going to call and what they're going to run, but he knows the strengths and weaknesses of Mitch Trubisky, and I think he tries to expose that, and I think he will be creative and dialing up different types of pressures.
We both agree that it's going to be a close game, so this next fill in the blank may be pivotal in actually deciding who will win the game. Blank will win the turnover battle on Sunday afternoon.
I think Chicago will. I think they have a better defense, and I think better defenses usually win the turnover battle.
But what about a young quarterback and poor decision-making under pressure against this secondary?
Yep. I mean, that's viable, too. We've talked about it. He will throw that thing up for grabs. So that could be the case. I just think Chicago's a better defense, and I think that they win the turnover battle. I got them winning the game, and part of that is winning the turnover battle.
Bryce Callahan, blank play versus the Bears.
I think he will. I don't know. I just, you know, he's been limited. We'll see. He's playing his former team. He wants to get back out there. Nobody likes being hurt. So I think somehow, some way, he gives it a go. So I think he does play.
Todd Davis, blank play versus the Bears.
I think Todd Davis will play. Vic Fangio said he turned the corner. He wasn't committing to him playing or not. But I think when he said he turned the corner, that means Todd Davis will play. I mean, you know, Vaughn was talking about him and what he means to that defense the other day, yesterday I believe it was, and he's a big part of it. Todd Davis wants to be out on that football field. He hasn't played. He hadn't practiced since the beginning of first day of training camp. He's kind of started working his way back into the mix here this week. You know that guy wants to play and be a part of this and help this team get their first win of the season. So I think, without a doubt, Todd Davis will play.
Denver's run defense will look
solid.
Okay.
Solid.
Okay.
I think they do a good job against Chicago. You saw Chicago last week. They didn't do anything against Green Bay.
It's 46,
offensively.
46 yards,
yeah.
I want to say.
So I think the rush defense looks solid. I'm not a big believer in Chicago's offensive line. And so it's up to this defense. And if they want to win, it's on the defense this week. The defense has got to play special. They got to make some
I'm looking up at the TV right now, the spot from last night. They're showing it on the TV.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, that was ridiculous. Anyway, sorry. We'll talk. Let's finish this, and we'll go, and we can talk about that.
Okay.
But I think they'll play solid. Rush defense, I think, is solid.
Okay. And then, finally, the Broncos special teams will perform blank Sunday.
Below average. I mean, once again, one of the same reasons why I picked the Bears this week. Look, you got to show me you can play a full football game and not do something bad and not hurt this football team. They did it last week, had the big kickoff return. You show me you can play a complete football game. Show me that you can do it. And until then, I mean, how can I have a lot of confidence that you'll go out there and do it?
Yeah. Yep, we got to see it. We have to draw from something in order to make that projection. But we're talking about special teams. Tom McMahon spoke to the media earlier today. And Tom McMahon is one of my favorite people ever. I wish I could talk to Tom McMahon every single morning to start my day. And because it's Friday, I just want to hear a little bit more of him. Steven, honestly, just play any Tom McMahon sound that you have.
Give us some Tom McMahon.
Any of
it. Zuzus, and they'll make you miss. The door's locked in the house. Not worried about him. We got a lot of firemen that haven't went into a building that's on fire, but they got to get in. I've learned a ton from Zach, so we're lucky to have him. And that's what I coach, is just there on the rectangle. A squared plus B squared is C squared. They're running the hypotenuse, we're all screwed. The diesels are out of the game, okay, so it's all Ferraris right now. I don't even know how to really use a phone very well, so... Zach's juice is rare.
The diesels are out of the game. We're only using Ferraris.
Oh, my God. And that first one, can I hear that? It's because we heard this earlier today for the first time. Can I hear the Zuzus clip one more time?
They got Zuzus, and they'll make you miss.
Zuzus.
Zuzus.
I love
the first
that.
First time I've ever heard of Zuzu.
I love that. Maybe we can make this a Friday tradition. Just run a highlight reel, Tommy, because it makes everyone feel better.
Yeah,
it
puts a smile on your face. It's Friday. I like that.
I like it.
I mean, he's got some clips, and he had three of them today.
Right.
Three of them. Talking about the firemen, talking about the door's locked, nobody can get in, and some Zuzus.
I mean, the door's locked in the house. Not worried about him.
The door's locked in the house. I don't know what context that was in, but it's just it's good stuff, man.
Got a lot of
good
firemen
stuff, Tom.
Haven't went into a building that's on fire, but they got to get in.
It's so good.
Yes.
It's so good. All
really
right.
Is. How about the spot last night?
I couldn't believe it. I said out loud to my wife in real time, I said, what in the hell are they doing? This is what drives fan bases crazy, opposing coaches crazy, gamblers crazy. I mean, they just move the ball unprompted a foot upfield.
Right. And sometimes in a two-minute drill, okay, like when the clock's running, you're running a two-minute drill, there's a minute 10 left, the ref gets it and he just tosses it and they kind of try to get it close, right? But in this situation, it was the fourth quarter, the clock ran down to the two-minute warning. So you had a stoppage. There's no reason for the ref to spot it and then to just pick it up and sling it to the old guy in the middle of the field. And the old guy bumbles it. He takes like two steps forward and then he just marks it wherever, like, is that close enough? Bob, does that look good to you? Yep, give him the first down. I mean,
that was
what?
Crazy.
What? Because it should have been short. It should have been a little bit short of the first down marker. But after, you know, Bob and Gil started throwing the ball around, and Dave over there started stumbling. Next thing you know, they got the first down. Like, what is going on?
I couldn't believe it. And Bruce Arians wanted to challenge it. It looked like he had his flag in his hand out. I said, oh, my God, if he challenges it, this should be the shortest challenge in the history of challenges. Here's what I'll say. If you've been listening to Stokely and Zach for the couple of years that we've been together on air, then you may have heard this before. I believe the NFL, in its infinite amount of resources, should be putting the smallest microchips in each nose of the football and have it linked up with a radar detection system on the field. It sounds like it's complicated when I say it like that.
Right.
It's not.
You see it in tennis.
You see it in tennis.
And you've been beating the drums for this forever since we've been on, and it just makes too much sense. It's like you would know when it crosses the goal line, even when it's a big pile. I mean, come on. It's not that difficult to figure that out. Like you said, they should figure out the other thing. The other thing, real quick.
Can I just throw this last thing in? When on television, when you break that threshold and the sensor goes back, back, it should just flash. Like,
yeah.
You got the first down.
Yeah, there it
Soccer
is.
Has it. Tennis has it. I mean, it's 2019, and it's a $100 billion business. Let's make it happen.
Yeah, it's not that difficult to help these referees out, help the fan viewership out, but also how about the PI challenge? The PI challenge towards the end of the game there. It certainly looked like it was pass interference to me. Definitely illegal contact, but you can't challenge illegal contact. And that took a while. And then they said, nope, it stands as called. And then they did review another one that was a face mask. That seemed like it took 15 minutes. It's absolutely ridiculous. The referee that the NFL is paying, the old referee that used to be a referee, he doesn't even know the rules. He can't explain it to us. It's a complete disaster. It is. It is what we thought it was going to be. And it's just like, oh, my gosh, what are we doing here, guys? What are we doing? Nobody knows the rules anymore. You don't know what you can challenge, what you can't challenge, what's reviewable. The referees are over there looking in the monitor for 15 minutes. And I'm like, I'm going to bed. Good night.
Yeah, it was a little bit confusing, a little bit convoluted. But I will say this, in terms of the reviewable pass interference, you are seeing that you need to do something over the top egregious to get that penalty, which I didn't like the call when it happened last night, but I like the fundamentals, because instead of going back and being nitpicky, it's got to be egregiously over the top.
Yep, and I'm fine with it. That's the way it's going to be. But I just think it's like, but I think we're going to see certain games where it's like that's going to be called and it's going to be overturned to pass interference. There's going to be no consistency with the rule.
You may see it. All right, really fun show. Shout out to Chris Fuselier and the Blake Street Tavern for doing a great job of hosting us and treating us great, as they always do. Enjoy the weekend, guys. Stephen Priest, shout out to you for keeping the show on the air. And Stoke, enjoy your weekend, man.
You too, buddy. Have a good one. This place is going to be rocking down here all weekend long. Get down to Blake Street Tavern. Appreciate you rocking with us.
All right, we got The Drive coming up next.
They got Zuzus, and they'll make you miss.
You work hard for your business. So should we. That's why First Bank offers commercial real estate loans, business lines of credit, and online cash management solutions. With tools and services designed to make your business run easier, your day could have less this and more this. Visit eFirstBank.com/business to learn more. First Bank, business banking for good. Member FDIC.
First Bank. Banking for good.